Yep, there we go. We're working. Oh, we're good. Okay. And welcome to the Toddcast.
Brian and John with you.
Boom.
Once again.
God dang.
The dynamic duo is at it again. That's not us, but they are at it again somewhere.
They are apparently at it again somewhere. All right, so we got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. So, so we haven't done one of these in 2 weeks. So what happened last weekend? Or the weekend before. Mills had his birthday party.
How'd that go?
Is there still cake in the freezer?
No.
Damn it.
We're older now. There was never cake in the freezer.
I wanted cake.
Well, you didn't get cake. You're an adult. Go buy cake.
I was busy drinking $5 rum buckets. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
At like 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, can't.
I can have my cake and rum buckets. Thank you very much. But anyway.
It went well.
That's good.
Yeah.
Was it busy? Good times?
It was like we were surprised because I brought the cake over at like 10:30 in the morning and like nobody wanted it. And then it was like, and then finally like in the afternoon people like devoured it. So it was like, I'm like, but it's cake in the morning. It's like donuts. Why don't you people want a slice?
And no, it's because it's cake. They want lunch and then have it as a dessert.
I guess.
Or and most of our business doesn't start until like noon anyway.
Yeah,
so
that was
that's probably what it is.
I think.
All the dudes that were like, cake. So, no, it's good. And last weekend we had the basement sale in Elwood, and it
How'd
was crazy.
Yeah.
This is my first time I've been there during a basement sale that wasn't all three buildings. So, like, last time I was there for when the basement was open, it was the Million Comics. So, I was in the VFW the whole time, so I didn't get to go over. So, I walk in at 10 o'clock, quarter to 10, and... it kind of was.
Really?
So, if you've never been to Elwood, it's split down the middle, right? And the right side is, the retail side and then the offices. Mm-hmm. And the left side is, a dollar room. So, they line everybody up in the dollar room to go to that door that takes you to the basement. Mm-hmm. So, that whole that line was all the way down to, the gaming tables, in the front door.
Hmm.
It was crazy. And I just kind of peeked and was like, Jesus, there's a lot of people. So... Around 10th, I hide at Wayne's desk and start doing work. And I'm like, well, I'm going to use the restroom. So I use the restroom. And I'm like, I'm going to go check out downstairs just to see how it is. I walk down there and there's 70 people in there.
Wow.
It was insane. And I saw a bunch of our subscribers. It was really cool because I don't get to see a lot of people as much anymore because I'm always bouncing around. I always miss them.
Yeah.
So Brett and Jen Downer were there with Ollie, mm-hmm. Who's getting big and awesome.
He?
Yeah. So it was his first basement sale, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Steve Bearfield, the
wow.
Bearfeld, was
the
there.
Bearfeld, okay.
So many other people, Scott Davis, Jimmy Z was there, a couple guys from Cranberry that I know.
And then, sounds like you're talking just about a mafia.
It's true.
The Bearfeld.
Yeah, the Bearfeld.
Johnny Z.
Jimmy Z.
Jimmy Z.
And then, John Callahan, who works at Cranberry, was there. And I was like, John, you do know that you're an employee, right? And you can, just come here anytime. And he just goes, really? So it's cool. One of the perks of working here is that we get access to the basement all the time.
Oh, okay.
In case you didn't know that as a staff member.
I did know that, yeah.
But sorry, everybody else listening. It's one perk that we get to have. Not that a lot of people take advantage of it, but it is a perk.
Yes.
It's that one time that I needed to finish my Spectre run. I found three of the issues down there.
Cool.
Anyway, so John is there and I'm like, well, let me show you how the store, around the store. And I show him the whole freaking building, all four floors.
Mm-hmm.
And he just comes down and he's done with it. And he just goes, I now have a greater appreciation for this company because I see how it actually works. There's, you guys wear a lot of hats. And we're like, yep. So, but it was cool, because, we do. I'm mm-hmm. promoting a show. I'm running all these stores. I'm doing a lot of other stuff. A lot of our office staff does a lot of stuff. And Elwood especially, feeds the beast back. And, if you really,
taste
ever...
the beast.
There's a lot of inner workings to NDC that are very kind... It sounds crazy, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the beast in process, you're just like, whoa, that's impressive. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. And he's a great dude. So mm-hmm. if you ever see him, Mr. Callahan up in Cranberry, great guy. loves his anime.
That's cool.
So anyway, that was pretty much last weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't like a ton of... I mean, it was big stuff, but it wasn't like big stuff, you know?
Well, the basement sale's big, man. Like, we only open it twice a year.
Okay.
So it was pretty impressive. I mean, they... Like, the basement sale to Elwood is what Black Friday is to all the other stores. Because we only do Black Friday and Free Combo Day sales like that twice a year.
Right.
It's very similar because it's, you know... doesn't happen every day. It's twice a year type of thing.
And that's the basement is what, dollar books or back issues?
The basement is everything in the basement. It's a dollar, but it's all sorted.
Oh, nice.
And you can fill a long box for $2.50. Mm. So, anyway, coming up this weekend, we have...
17th and 18th.
We have NDC Games Day, which is going to be huge.
That's going to be a lot of fun. That's cross stores, right? That's
every single store. Some stores have more play mats and dice than others. So come in free, or come in early.
Come in free.
Free stuff.
You can walk in the door for free.
You can come in for free.
It's a true statement.
If you spend $5 in gaming stuff, pre-tax, not $4.99, $5, you get a single NDC die. And we have five different kinds to choose from. If you spend $10, you get two die. And if you spend $20, you get one of each of the five die. And then if you spend $30, you get one of each of the five die and a sweet NDC playmat.
Mm-hmm.
If you spend $50 or more, you get two sets of die and a playmat. And they must be made in gaming merchandise, which means TCGs, RPGs, board games, supplies, sleeves, binders, commons, uncommons,
other
card
dice.
Boxes, other dice, other playmats.
That'd be great. Buy like... $50 in dice
minis.
To get free dice.
Right.
That works.
Whatever.
You can never have too many dice.
You like dice. I don't... you like die. I don't know.
I'll be getting mine. I'm going to buy $20 worth of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
But the gaming stuff is on sale too, is it not?
The gaming stuff is also 20% off. So...
You have to buy more of it to hit the things because it's pre-tax.
Right, but you're getting more stuff, so yes. It's cool. So come in, hang out. It'll be good times. Let's see what else. Oh, also on Saturday at Century 3, we're having a Magic the Gathering Grand Prix Pittsburgh trial.
Nice.
Judge Dan will be down there hanging out. Modern Construction, $25 entry. Giant plateaus of different payouts. It is modern. It is winner gets two round bye to Pittsburgh's Grand Prix in November. It's going to be a little crazy.
Will you be judging?
I will not be on that day because I need to take a day off. So,
fair enough.
I might be there. I played in the last one because we needed an eighth person. But I think their turnout's going to be a little bit better this one.
John's day off still involves him being at an
eighth
store.
It's true. It's true.
It's odd.
Well, like, I have to go grocery shopping, and it's right beside it.
Oh. Well.
So, like, the best grocery store near me is right beside C3. It's that big freaking giant eagle.
Okay,
so
yeah, sure.
I might just go there and hang out and whatever, or just stop by. I might do some logistic things that I have to do later and just kind of do small half-day stuff. Anyway, whatever. I'm starting to digress. Damn it, Brian.
It's my job. Keep the conversation flowing in weird directions.
Right? So then the following Saturday is Magic the Gathering Battle for Zendikar Game Day. These
that will be the
24th. Correct. 24th and 25th. Some stores are doing Saturday and Sunday. I think Mills, C3, and Butler do both days. I think Cranberry just does Saturday. And you get a sweet playmat for first place. Top 8 get a promo. And then everybody else gets a promo. It's standard constructed. I don't know what the price point is for each store because I think it may sway different stores. So check out your local NDC and find out. I'm sure mostly everybody has it on their Facebook.
Yes.
I think most of us do like – I think – or no, I can't say that because I don't think we do that anymore. I know the Mills does usually $10, three-pack buy-in. Everybody gets one of those packs, and then it's two packs in the pool. And it's a fun time. So, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, usually the guys that show for Games Day are, like, the guys that don't like to normally play, like, F&Ms and stuff because it's, like, on a weekend.
Right.
So they come and they, like, just want to hang out and have fun. So they're usually a really good time to play with.
And then there's also something else on the 24th.
Yes. Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles Show, Century 3 Edition. Starts at 10 a.m., goes till 5. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
You'll
as well.
Be there.
I'll be there for Extra Life.
Right.
Promoting, and
so,
that's coming up quick. So,
are you going to wear your Extra Life shirt, or are you going to wear your Three Rivers Comic Con shirt?
I'm going to wear my Extra Life shirt.
Ah!
Because I'm promoting Extra Life.
Yeah, but you're still on the clock, technically, because your salary. And all staff's going to be wearing the shirt. I'm just
kidding,
Brad.
No,
it's cool.
I know.
No, it's cool. No, it's going to be actually a pretty good turnout.
And I've been to the C3 one before, and it's a fun show.
Yeah. Valiant Comics is coming to set up.
Sweet.
They'll be there. Tom Scioli is going to be there. Let me actually see here. I may have a little bit more information on this. Yep, Tom Scioli. Dave Nessler, who's like a huge pinup artist, is going to be there. Ernie Steiner, who's done work for Marvel, is going to be there. And then, like, you know, like our awesome, like, spread of awesome local guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like DJ Kaufman, Jay Fife, Scott Henland, Brandon Holly, who's really cool, Duke Gallagher, John Martin. We're also going to be doing screenings of So the Story Goes, in the back room of C3, and we're going to have that periodically throughout the day. You'll get to watch this whole movie done by these local guys.
Oh, that's interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's something new to do. Howard Shapiro, who has done, like, Hockey Saint. Steel Man, he'll be there with Steel Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Tucker, who's coming in from Cleveland. He's actually a friend of mine. He's really cool. I saw him at Baltimore. His art is really good. It's very much so kind of like Ramos-y, the guy who's doing Amazing Spider-Man, kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Jack Vassbury is going to be there. Dylan Winfield, who did Scary Stories for Scary People. R2 may not actually make it. Midnight Massacre is going to be there. They're a film production company.
Production or prediction?
Production.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they guessed at what movies were coming out.
Yes. Z-Play Entertainment, which is like a local cosplay group. It's actually a family, and they've won like a lot of awards. They're really cool. They're coming out too.
I want to be a movie prediction company now. I just want to predict what movies are coming out someday.
I'm going to predict this movie is going to suck.
I predict that someday there's going to be a Dark Hawk movie. I'm a predict that. There it is.
Well, I've already said there might be.
Dark Hawk?
Yeah, I think so.
I did not hear anything about
that. I'm pretty sure they hinted at that somewhere.
I like Dark Hawk. I think it's a fun
character.
I do too.
That'd be great. But they have to have the Skrulls before they do that, because you can't have Dark Hawk without Skrulls, because the jewel is a Skrull jewel. And the whole thing is a Skrull armor.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
I thought it was.
Reed War King's son.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That was. I thought that was a different alien race that created this gems and this.
No, it was
armor.
All these Skrulls on the tree when he woke up on the tree with all the other Dark Hawks.
Yeah. That is true. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were. I couldn't remember what aliens. Yeah.
War Kings or Road of Kings. It was one of the two. The Dark Hawk mini. Read it. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. That's when he's like finally. Because, like, he gets possessed by the actual spirit of, like, not the spirit, but who the armor was designed for or whatever. And, like, that guy knows how to use the armor. And it's like, you know, it's like.
Yeah,
and
he turns into
like
Talon.
Stuff is popping out of every part of the armor. And it's like weapons and.
Yeah, it's all kinds of crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
So the only other thing that's really on here is we have two more Grand Prix trials in case you miss. The one this Saturday. One is at Butler, and it's on Halloween. And the other one is at the Mills on the 7th of November. I will be at both of those, tentatively. And the other thing is that on Halloween, we have this awesome thing called Halloween Comic Fest. So, say you kind of like, you know, Free Comic Book Day, which is kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody likes free comics. So, you can come in to any of the NDCs that day and get some free Halloween books. Now, if you're already at Mall Trick or Treat, we're going to be handing out some of the same books.
Okay.
Because I think everybody's doing theirs on Thursday, except for Butler. Butler might be the Tuesday before Halloween. Everybody else, I think, is Thursday night. So we're going to hold some back. So there are some for Halloween Comic Fest, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come in and get them. If you're at the Mills that Saturday, writer Vito DeSante from Action Lab is going to be here promoting their
Actionverse.
Their Actionverse crossover book. Mm-hmm. I've already read this book, and it is hilarious and awesome. You should see the cover. Like, they're all in costumes. Like, Molly Danger's like a witch, and like Stray is like a Frankenstein. Like, it's really, really cool. Or it might be Midnight Tiger that's the Frankenstein. I think it's Stray. Anyway, because they look very similar. Right. But it's really, really fun. It's really cool. Vito helped write it. He's super proud of this because it's the first part of the crossover event that will be Actionverse.
Mm-hmm. Which is their, well, it's their first attempt at a event like Marvel and DC do events
at a
like
company,
every year.
At a company-wide crossover.
Right. Yeah. And it links all the universes.
Right. So like it's kind of cool because like there's guys in there that you've never seen crossover before. So mm-hmm. it's kind of neat. And they've coordinated, I think he told me something like 12 different artists and writers to do this.
Wow.
And it's going to be really, really cool. So definitely come and check that out. He'll be here.
Now, do we know if it's like every single Action Lab character? Or is it specific ones that make more sense?
It's like Molly Danger, Stray, Midnight Tiger, Hero Cats, and...
Okay, I wasn't sure if Hero Cats would make it in.
Oh, it's the other one. I want to say Skyward, but that I don't think that's right because I think Skyward's done. I can't remember what the other one was. But it's like six different characters all in one big thing. It's really, really cool. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I got to preview it because I got the hookup. that and they were giving it away at Baltimore.
right. Nice try.
I know. But those guys are really cool. Vito will be here at noon.
Okay.
I don't know when he's leaving, but come on in and hang out. So the other cool thing on the 31st is you can come in from open to 6, and we will take your picture. And if you have to come in costume.
Yeah,
sorry.
Just going to take a selfie.
No, just come in and take a selfie. So you can come in, and we're going to take your picture from noon or open to 6, and we're going to post you on Facebook at 6 o'clock. We're going to post everybody. And... we're going to let the public vote on these photos.
Mm-hmm. With likes, correct?
With likes and shares. Mm-hmm. You get one vote for a like, two votes for a share. And the winner is going to get a $50 gift card per NDC location they win at.
Nice.
So if you want to hit all 5, mm-hmm. go right ahead. If you think your costume's that BA, you go right ahead and do that. I will probably just be taking pictures in Butler while I'm judging. And I'd like to see a good turnout for this. This would be cool. But it's going to be cool. Like a $50 gift card. That's
awesome.
Yeah. All you have to do, put on a costume. You're going to be wearing it that night anyway for
most likely,
a contest. But the winner will be announced Sunday, November 1st. The stores will review all the likes and shares, tally everything up at noon. Boom. Announce a winner. Mm-hmm. Bang. It's going to be crazy fun. Make sure you're coming out and doing that. So Halloween Comic Fest, fun times.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we can talk about comics now. I don't think there's anything else. Let me just double check real quick.
Right.
I think we're good. Okay cool.
We have your permission to talk about comics now.
Shut up, Brian. So
apparently not. Go ahead.
For people that are wondering about Black Friday, no, we have not decided on what our sales are going to be yet. But
good point, yes,
but the reason is that we're waiting on to find out what the mall hours are going to be for the mall stores.
Yes,
because there's a lot of flux going on as to what they did in the past. So be patient. We promise it'll be cool,
mm-hmm. and we'll post it when we get them.
Yep, as soon as we figure it out, we'll let you know. All right, you can go first.
Thank you.
Oddly, all of these books are Marvel books.
They are. Actually, I keep forgetting this.
All 4 that we're talking about are Marvel books.
So I decided the first book is, you know, I always like to try and grab something that I'm not familiar with. So I went with Star Wars Darth Vader number 10.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader doth his don.
Dothy
his
Vader? You're such a Dothy Vader, Brian.
I know. So, basically, this one takes place after the first Death Star is destroyed.
What?
I know, right? Crazy.
Who does that?
Who does anything like that? So, at this point, he doesn't know Luke blew it up. And he's trying to figure it out. Darth Vader has made it his like, mission in life to find out who blew up the Death Star, who this Jedi is, because he doesn't understand, he doesn't know. And he's done some stuff, like, in, like, the recap. It's like, well, he's, you know, killed some people trying to find out and whatnot.
Right.
And the Empire, but he's trying to do this without the Empire knowing. Mm-hmm. And they assign him, like, some dude, bald guy with, like, a crazy mustache.
That might be the look I rock at some point.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting look for you.
I like that look. You should do that look.
I'm not doing that.
You should totally do it.
It's basically his mustache goes into his mullets. Burr.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes into his mullets.
It's like an Aaron Burr mullet skullet.
So the guy is like, it's not an assistant. It's like almost like an overseer. I don't know what you call it. I'm not going to go through every word in here trying to find the exact name for it. He's basically a thorn in Vader's side because he is the kind of guy that would report back to the Empire what's going on. So he can't just flat out kill the guy.
Right.
Because that would just raise more suspicion.
So he's almost like a, what is that, an informant?
Almost? Yes, but it's like, it's a
covert
more,
informant, CIA?
Well, not covert. It's like Vader knows. He's.
Oh, okay.
I just can't think of the right title for it.
He's a rat.
Yeah, basically.
He's a narc.
He's almost like an efficiency expert.
He's the Emperor's narc.
Yeah.
He's so, his bitch.
Okay. We're going to weird places, but all right.
Well, so wait, that was Vader, my bad.
Yeah, yeah. The whole point is, you know, Vader's trying to find this out without letting this jerk know, because he doesn't want the Empire to know.
Jerks.
And he hired this girl and her droids, not girl, like young woman, who's a bounty hunter, to...
They were going
to
be like, not droid, young woman.
Yeah, not droid, young woman. Whatever.
She's a fembot.
That'd be pretty awesome. She
Devin's face was priceless.
Yeah, the Vader mask comes off. It's like, behave, baby.
Whoa!
I'm your father, dude.
Behave.
Yeah.
What?
Fat bastard, I'm your father, baby.
No!
Okay, we just veered off.
The force is strong with this one, baby.
So, she's tracking down the information. She finds this guy who was... some sort of commander or whatnot with the rebels or before that. He helped bury Amidala.
Okay.
And he was a close confidant of hers before all that stuff happened. So, and you know, knowing what you know, she is trying to, she has her like C-3PO looking bot torture the guy. And he's like, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Not a fembot.
Not a fembot. And I'm not going to tell you anything. And this C-3PO guy, it's like, actually, it's 00 or 000. That's that C-3PO's name is 000. And he's like, oh, you're just adorable. I love it when you play your part. And then it's like, you know, she's walking away and you hear, no, oh, God, stop, you know. You don't know what she's doing. And it's really dumb, like the way she, you know, she's not very bright, apparently, because she feeds him his lines, basically. She says, hey, you know, the hologram over her casket shows that she was still pregnant, but, you know, that's a lie. We know that, you know, but you, Mr. Mortician, you were the one that took care of her. So, you know, she had a son, didn't they? She and, you know, the son was spirited away by Jedis and all, weren't they? And he's like, yes, she had a son, a healthy boy. They took him away. I don't know anything else, you know, because, you know, there was the twins. They didn't, but she doesn't know that. So she gave him the perfect way to say, yeah, I don't know anything else. You're totally right. And they just kill him. Because, like, well, we got all the information we need from him.
Right.
You know, and she reports back to Vader, and, you know, he's like, okay. He's I don't know who she is, like, what her connection to him is. It's not like he's all nice to her, but at the same time, he's like, okay, keep doing your part, you know, get me more information. And they're even talking about the other guy, the sideburn mustache dude, who's like, and she's like, is he going to get in a problem? And he's like, yeah, but I'll take care of him. I have to be careful.
Right.
So it was kind of interesting. Again, coming in at issue 10, you know, I can't expect to, like, jump right in most times. But Star Wars fans, I've heard good things about the Darth Vader run, period. And it seems interesting.
Right.
So I'm not going to say, like, the artwork's good. Writing was pretty solid. So I'm not going to be like, oh, it was, who cares?
Let me, is that Gillen and Aaron writing it?
No, just Kieran Gillen.
Kieran Gillen.
Kieran Gillen. And Salvador Dali is the artist. No, Salvador Larca. Loca. How do you say that?
LaRocca.
LaRocca?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But, Yeah, so if you're a Star Wars fan and you haven't picked up Darth Vader, you might want to go back and get the back issues or one of the trades and check out this new Marvel run. It seems like it could be pretty solid.
The first couple issues was really like Vader still being a bitch, though. It was really bad. It was like I was just like, oh, he's still whining about the death of Amidala. Padme's dead. It was bad. It was totally like a scene right out of like the Robot Chicken.
Yeah,
like, it was pretty bad. And then he killed more sand people. All right, so my first book, or my books are both number ones. So my first book is Doctor Strange, number one, by Aaron and Bellaccio.
Part of the all new, all different Marvel relaunch.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I love, so like, it's really cool because the first page is like done with like art from classic. It looks like art from classic issues. Yeah. I don't know if it's actually art from classic issues, but it looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just him telling like his whole story in one panel, like nice. One page.
Good recap, yeah.
Very good recap. The art's jumping in, phenomenal. Big splash pages. I loved
giant teddy bears.
This artist on Uncanny X-Men, because he did like a really long X-Men run with, I believe it was Bendis. He also worked with Fraction, I think. And like it starts out with this where he's like fighting in the psyche of a kid, the bear is actually something the kid knows. So he tries to like be like, I'm here to help, and then he basically fights off these soul eaters, and the one soul eater is like a chick, and he's like, she's so into me, like at the end they're like making out, and then he wakes up because the parents wake him up, and he's just floating there, and they're like, oh yep, saved your kid, I'm out, peace. So then you get to see what a day in the life of Doctor Strange is, like, where you see all the different crazy, interdimensional bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I think is what you call it. Yeah, actually, there it is. Interdimensional bacteria. And like, and then he's like, oh, you see some cool stuff. And then sometimes you see bad things. And then he fights this big bad thing. And, but to everybody else, it looks like he's just having like a seizure in the middle of the street, a standing seizure. And everybody's like, what is wrong with this guy? What a weirdo. And then he goes to this cool, like, magician's bar, or sorcerer's wizard's bar, I guess is what he calls it.
What?
And, so it's brother, or Dr. Voodoo, who was the Sorcerer Supreme in between the times when Doctor Strange was not.
Right.
Shaman from, Alpha Flight.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and then Alpha Scarlet Flight. Witch from X-Men.
Yeah.
And they're all like, you're late again. Why do you want to have these meetings if you're just going to be 45 minutes late all the time? And then, like, Voodoo just keeps being like, what was her name? and then you see Monaco show up, and he's the Prince of Magic, and he's, like, an older guy. I think he appeared in, like, some really old, like World War II cap books type thing.
Okay.
He's just like, hey, you know, the magic always comes with a price. Like, I would always, after every day, go home and just kill one of my rabbits. And he was like, why? Not the rabbits thing again. He's like, you got to do something, because if not, it's going to build up and it's going to start taking lives. So what did you do, Strange? Like, we're going to pay the price for whatever later. And so he just kind of goes home. And then this girl shows up at his house, and you get to see the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in a really long time, because they really haven't done a lot with Doctor Strange since
New Avengers.
Oh wait, yeah, New Avengers like a while ago.
Yeah,
because
they destroyed the Sanctum Sanctorum in one of the battles.
Yeah, and then he had to give up being the Sorcerer Supreme for a while, and then he finally came back to it, and then they just didn't do anything with him for a long time. Anyway, this girl shows up and she's like, "Ugh, there's no doorknob. This is stupid. I don't know why I'm here." All of a sudden, this guy outside starts talking to her. It happens to be Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
But she doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So he tries to figure out what's wrong with her, and eventually just opens the door and is like, come on in. And then he's like floating upside down. And then he, you know, flies around down. He's like, oh, so really, what brought you here? And he's got a Christmas tree and like just books everywhere, and Wong's not anywhere to be found. It's like, come on, Wong, get on your stuff.
Yeah.
Come on. And she's like, well, I got this really crazy thing. I've never seen it before. So he's like, take your hat off. And she's like, how'd you know it was one of my... Just take your hat off. And she's like, okay. So she takes the hat off, and there's, like, some kind of soul eater on her head.
Mm.
So he does this thing, and all of a sudden, all these soul eaters pop up, and it's like, to be continued.
Oh, man.
And then you get a cool little backstory of Dimension 13 and its Sorcerer Supreme as it's being hunted down by the guys that are eventually crossing all the dimensions, and they kill that Sorcerer Supreme. And he tries to send a message out to all the other guys, and he can't. And there's these really awesome, like, giant wolves with, like lizard skeletons on them, and it's really cool. And this is kind of cool. Like, this guy's eye, instead of the eye of Agamotto, he's got the eye of Thelema.
Hmm.
So it's kind of intriguing. I really kind of like it. I like Jason Aaron's writing a lot. He's really solid. He's been doing Thor for a while. He does, like, Southern Bastards and a bunch of other stuff that I've really enjoyed. And he did, like, a lot of the Secret Wars crossover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been pretty, pretty solid. And this is no different. He's just as good. The art style flows with the book. It's really good to see Doctor Strange back in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I, like, my worry, though, is that they're going to, like, blend it into whatever they're doing with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want that.
Yeah.
But in the same right, it's good to see him back in the front before the movie comes out so that people actually have something to read. Mm-hmm. So if you want to kind of get a feel for who Doctor Strange is before the movie comes out next year, come check it out. It's a really good book. And it's drawn better than Benjamin Cumberbatch looks. So... It's good. But there's some really good Doctor Strange stuff, too. Like, you can check out The Oath, which is, like, probably the best and most coveted Doctor Strange storyline, which just got reprinted again in trade, and we have it in stock in most of the stores. So come and check it out.
Awesome. All right, so my second comic.
The second number one of the week.
Second number one of the week is The Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing.
Of course, Spider-Man being my all-time favorite hero. I didn't like, even with the previews, I didn't like where it was looked like it was going. Just based on the cover, I'm like, nah, it's not Spider-Man. So we got...
I like the Parker Industries symbol on the wall or on the building.
That's cool. Yeah, that is a cool logo. So we got Dan Slott as the writer and Giuseppe Camuncoli.
All right. I don't know.
Oh, okay. As the penciler and Cam Smith as the anchor.
Right.
Marty Gracious. Colorist. So here's what one sidestep, because these are coming out before the end of Civil War, or Secret Wars, when they weren't supposed to.
Right.
Secret Wars should have been done by now, and we should have known the outcome, and then that would affect all these new 45 new number ones.
Yeah, it's very weird because
it doesn't look like anything changed.
Well, they do reference some stuff.
Okay, I didn't notice anything in this Spider-Man. But
there's little thing. There was a hint in Doctor Strange. And there was a hint in Invincible Iron Man. But
okay, yeah. So I must have just missed the hint.
Which I'll talk about later.
Yes, spoilers. Now, but so it's like in prior to Secret Wars, and I did appreciate this, is that they were focusing on Spider-Man's intelligence. They were showing that he's not just, you know, the wise ass with strength. It's like he's one of the top tier minds in the Marvel Universe. He's not, you know, Reed Richards, Tony Stark smart, but he's right under them. He's like, even with actually, Hank McCoy, Hank Pym.
Hank Pym is actually the scientist supreme of our universe, of the 616.
How?
You need to read Mighty Avengers, or no, Avengers Academy. Avengers Academy.
Really? Because he's better than Reed Richards?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. I refuse to believe that.
He gets the title from the Celestials, so there you go.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's the Celestials. Might be. Whatever. Yes. Anyway, continue.
We're stepping on my stuff.
Stop it, Brian!
Not me, you.
Stop it!
So it picks up with that, where he was working for Horizon Labs, developing, using the resources to make all kinds of cool stuff for his Spider-Man crime fighting, and then tweaking it to making it more commercial friendly so that then Horizon could sell it and he could make money. So this picks up because apparently Horizon Labs got destroyed because of, like, Spider-Man, you know, enemies and stuff. So he picks up and makes Parker Industries doing the same thing. Like,
well, that
using
happened
his
before. That happened, like, during Superior, I thought. Like,
I don't
the
think
end of Superior Spider-Man.
He references Superior Spider-Man in here, but I don't think Anyway, did Dr. Octopus whatever. Do it? Okay, whatever.
I'm pretty sure it happened during Superior, like okay. the end of Superior.
Well, whatever. And then again, it's like nothing's changed then because it's just Parker Industries is big. And he's giving this, he's promoting this new device that's like kind of like bringing you affordable internet access, you know, all across the world, all this stuff.
Ooh.
And Spidey has the new costume, which doesn't look bad. I mean, it's the same general costume. It's just got like a little green hint underneath the spider, which I don't understand, but it's sort of like a, almost like a glow-in-the-dark look. And it picks up, so then he's with Mockingbird, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and in Shanghai, and they're tracking down this Zodiac gang, and he's in the Spider-Mobile, this new tricked-out, awesome-looking Spider-Mobile.
Like a spider buggy? Like
yes.
A cooler spider buggy?
Yes.
That's what Mockingbird looks like now?
Yeah.
Dumb.
So, and it starts out with him singing.
She looks like Moonstone.
Okay. Hey,
continuing on.
Yes. Stepping on my line.
Sorry. I didn't read this yet. I'm so interested.
All right. So he's like, the thing is, throughout the whole book, Spider-Man's still Spidey. I mean, he's still funny. He still has the power and responsibility. The artwork is excellent. I love the artwork. The writing is solid, you know, and it's like I said, I'm really loving that he, you know, is focusing on his intelligence as much as his powers, because now he's got like different web cartridges. So he calls out like a number. He's like web shooters, cartridge 6, and it shoots out this like metallic webbing that gets electrified and like he can like stuns people, you know, and that's the further you go in the story, what's upsetting is he really
gave him the wings again.
Yep. He really is just Iron Man. Like, you know, and they make jokes about that. They're like, oh, I'm the poor man. But it's just like he and, you know, it keeps building. And you're like, okay, but that's not Spider-Man. I don't need him to be down on his luck, everything, you know, bad Parker luck, Spidey. But I don't, this doesn't, isn't him. You know, I mean.
I feel like it's just part of where he's evolved to.
I guess. But it's just like. You know, and he's got a nice, cool thing is he's got Prowler, Hobie, Robert, what's his name? Hobie something?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Is in America as Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's cool.
It's in the, again, it's like freaking James Rhodes and Iron Man. It's like he's taking over to draw attention away.
Which
and
is
then,
funny because Peter Parker was Prowler at one point.
Okay, well. Yeah. So, but, you know, and then he you know, they even make, because it's like, oh, you're saying Spider-Man's now your bodyguard, you know, and the reporters even put it in quotation marks, you know. It's
right,
like,
right.
So it's just like Iron Man was, and it's like, okay, and they're after his new tech, of course, the Zodiac gang, and it's clear that there's like sort of like a mole in his, in
right.
the company. So it wasn't bad. I mean, for what it was enjoyable. But then another thing, too, is, you know, it's this oversized issue, oversized and action-packed. But it's only like the first half is him. The rest of them are all Spider-related titles, semi-tying into him. So
were
the next
good?
One, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's
the one, right? Well,
nice.
Let me finish.
Sorry,
let me speak.
Damn it!
They he ties in. So Spider-Man 2099 is like fighting this bank robbery, normal bank robbery, but somebody gets killed and he's like all guilty, and Peter swings up beside him. It's like, oh, I thought I'd find you here, type stuff, and he's like, and Miguel is like, look, I'm done. I can't do this. You know, I can't save it. It's not working. And he's like, that's cool. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to offer you a job. And then it's like continued in the pages of 2099.
Yeah.
Then there's a Silk story that touches on Parker Industries. And then it links into her and her new partner, the Black Cat. And then there's like a Spider-Woman story, and which I didn't even really read. And then there's like...
is that Captain Marvel randomly?
Yeah, because like, well, cause she's
it's
calling
still part her. Of the Spider Woman.
Yeah,
okay.
She's calling her because, you know. And then there's the, this is oh the you know the Web
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, yeah. Spider-Verse. Cause, so it's, this one was interesting too because it's another it's Spider Gwen, Peter Porker, Noir Spider Man, Captain Britain Spider Man, and the Indian Spider Man. They're a team and they're going along the webs of the universe, like trying to correct things and help out. So that's going to be an ongoing title. And then there's the Miles Morales tie-in. So it's basically just giving you little, like, prequel precursors to all the new Spider titles, which is fine, but it's like, well, that's not what I wanted. I wanted the Spider-Man.
I don't know. I like all the Spider family, though. I think
well,
they're
no,
doing,
I know,
like, the books are doing really well.
Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to 2099 and Spider-Gwen. And that
I'm not looking forward to Spider-Gwen. No.
Well, I read that when that was. But
I did too, but I was like, Spider-Woman's such a better writer. Like, But anyway, yeah. I really enjoy, I can tell you, I really enjoy Captain Britain Spider-Man a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but I really, really like it.
It's cool. And I'm going to look forward to that title as well, the Spider-Verse crossover. So my takeaway still is that I don't understand what the hell Secret Wars did, because nothing really is that different. And I'm not too crazy about the direction they're taking, but it's still a well-written and well-drawn comic. So if you're a Spider fan, give it a chance. Pick it up.
Yeah. Totally looks good.
And now I'm going to talk over everything you say about Iron
Man. I'm wondering if the light thing underneath him is like going to be explained, like if it's actually like a thing.
Maybe.
Anyway. All right, cool. My last book is another number one by Marvel. It's Invincible Iron Man number one by Brian Michael Bendis and Dave Marquez. This book is Bendis through and through. Like it reads exactly like every other Bendis book, which is beautiful. And it's really cool to hear him do an Iron Man book. It starts off with like...
I did flip through it, and I like the look of the armor.
Yeah, yeah. So they kind of explain that. But it starts out with like this dude bringing a briefcase to Madame Mask, and she looks cool. Like, look at that cool new mask they gave her.
Yeah, does it have a bottom half? It's just
it's just the top half, which is interesting for her.
What are those called? That's a specific kind of mask for like masquerades. It's a something.
I forget. It's not a domino mask, because domino masks are just around the eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget what that's called.
Okay.
Anyway, actually, it might not be, because it looks like a full mask down here, but yeah, it's weird, depending on the art that you look at. So then it shows Tony, like, in his workshop, and he's just kind of, like, building armor, and he's just, like, thinking in his head, he's like, I really like being here. It's like my church. It's my solemn place. So he finally constructs an armor that doesn't have to come out of his pores, but yet he can still control with his mind, and will change and adapt to another armor, however he thinks about it. So
it's nanotech that just will form and reform and stuff.
Right. So if he wants it to be Hulkbuster, it'll just morph into Hulkbuster.
Nice.
If he wants it to be stealthy, it'll just turn black. So then he gave Friday his AI in it, like a hollow body, like
that looks like Mary Jane,
and looks kind of like Pepper meets Mary Jane.
Yeah,
and she's totally like exactly how my girl Friday would react, kind of like the secretary, but still kind of gives him shit,
like movie Jarvis,
right?
Basically,
movie Friday, even in Avengers 2.
Yeah, but she wasn't. Well, she didn't have much lines to give sass. But I mean, yeah, she was.
But if you know the reference of My Girl Friday, like you'll understand the character better. But yes.
Yeah, I flipped through some of that too, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, and she's just like, "You have dinner with this girl that even I like, so you need to go." So he shows up. He's early. He meets her, and she's like, "Well, you proved my friends wrong," and he's like, "What? What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Well, my friend said you were going to be an hour late, show up in your Iron Man suit, and then talk about yourself like you're freaking awesome. You only did one of those three things, which is the last one." And he's like, "I'm a different me." So then, like, they show Stark Tower in Japan, and, like, Madame Mask is, like, escaping. And even here it looks like it could still be the top half, but it might be bottom half, too.
Yeah, it might be just really so. The top half reflects more or something.
Maybe.
Or it's designed or something.
Maybe
like
it's designed to look like she's wearing a mask on a mask.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks really cool, though. I really like the design of Meta Mask.
The artwork in this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
So then he takes her up to Stark Tower, and she's like, "So are you trying to impress me?" He's like, "If I were trying to impress you, I'd have, like, Thor show up or something." And, she's like, "Well, I'm glad you didn't, because I'd be really turned off." And then she turns away, and Thor flies in, and Tony just like kind of just like, "No, get away!" And she just flies off. So he gets all the way up to the point where it looks like they're actually going to hit it off, and Friday's like, "We have an issue." And it's like Madame Mask is back. So he flies to Latveria, because that's where she was last seen. To Castle Doomstat, and like the thing in here that they kind of drop is that Doom has gone missing since some kind of fall of Doomstat.
Okay.
So apparently something happens in Secret Wars where Doom goes missing. Right, at least that's what I took out of this.
Right.
So he shows up, guards are there, some kind of crazy thing happens in the back, a sonic attack happens from the back, but the suit protected him automatically. He didn't even have to think about it. He's like, well, who the hell did that? And he turns around and there's this dude's there, and he starts talking, and he's like, I know that voice. And Friday goes, according to all of our bioscans, this is Victor Von Doom. This is Dr. Doom. And he's like this young, handsome dude who looks a lot like the Beyonder. So I'm curious to see where they take this book. I'm pretty impressed with the art. I really like the writing style. I like Bendis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just one of those dudes that, you know, if you like almost like a sitcom style of writing, mm-hmm. like where it's very, I don't want to say chatty, but it's very conversationally done.
It's very, you know.
Like, there's still action, but when there's not, it's like conversations and very thought provoking.
It's also a Whedon-y style.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kinda. A witty dialogue that's smart and fast.
But it's very much so like awkward conversation.
Yeah,
like it's.
I mean,
not
that's why one of the things I loved about Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, you know,
that's why I fell in love with it, because I'm like, well, this is a brilliant retelling of the Spider story, and it's still Peter. It's
right.
Like, it's a great, you know, the banter's there, and it's just so funny. Like, everyone that needs to be is smart. Like, Aunt May was smart. Like, she'd even fire back at once.
His whole like development of the Ultimate Universe was like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He did New Avengers or Mighty mm-hmm. Avengers. It was
New
one
Avengers,
of the two. I know he did New Avengers. Wow, because like the I always bring this issue up because it's freaking awesome. The issue where they're interviewing people for Jessica Jones and Luke Cage's babysitter.
Right.
Because it's like them interviewing people, and it's just blocks of people talking, and like D-Man's in there, and he's like, does Captain America remember me? And then it'd be like,
Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. I was part of the Great Lakes Avengers. Yes, that's a real Avengers team. No, really. I'm an Avenger. Like, and it like would be like all these other random people. And then there's like a couple issues a little later where like a big event happened, and then they're all like in therapy because they have to go through therapy to make sure they're cool, like they're good before they go back out in the field. And it's like they're all just kind of talking about different things and how it happened. And it's real, real cool, like how he hops around from panel to panel.
I wonder, did he do the one where everyone was telling a psychiatrist or whatever about Wolverine?
Yeah,
that was
he
brilliant.
Did that one too.
Because I love that one because it's the same thing. It's like an entire page of like 12 different singles.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Cyclops and Professor X. And they're all talking about Wolverine like Captain America.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did that one too.
You know,
too,
and Cap's saying like, well, he's a damn good soldier and all, you know, and all this stuff. And then like Namor is like something funny. Like, it's just like, you know, horrible swimmer, you know.
Yeah.
And then like at the very end, you know, it's a panel of him, and he's like, the only one of those was true is Namor. I can't swim worth a damn, you know.
Just, well, he like, weighs so much. Like,
I know. He's
it's like 700 stinks. Pounds of adamantium.
But so that was so great. It's like,
makes me wonder how much reinforcement he has to put on those motorcycles when he rides them.
He's just like, they're all lying except for Namor. I can't swim worth a damn, because they were all like saying good things about him. Like,
there was a really awesome, I think it was the last Wolverine issue, right after Old Man Logan, before it went to Dark Wolverine, and there was this awesome like 5 pages of just like a week in the life of Wolverine. And it was like Monday he's fighting with the X-Men, Tuesday's fighting with Alpha Flight, Wednesday he's like fighting some samurais, like Thursday he's like with like the New Avengers, and like it just keeps going. And then like Sunday it's like him in a bar, and he's like, I gotta go home and do laundry. Like, it was really, really funny. I was like, what? Because it was basically just one big joke of how he's on everybody's
team
and he's everywhere.
Yep.
So, all right, cool. So,
nerd news. I see that you've got.
Well, first, remember that you can check out all new releases on our website, ndcomics.com. Check it out. I do have some nerd news.
I just saw that on Twitter, and I'm glad you brought
this
it up
one?
There. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this and was like, I kind of want to get our reactions to this. So the rumor is that Mark Ruffalo's Hulk will return in Thor Ragnarok. Now, the other part of this rumor is that Hulk is already in space.
Mm.
So, thoughts on Hulk in space with no explanation randomly in Ragnarok?
Planet Hulk.
Sorta. Could be a setup for Planet Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Could just be as close to Planet Hulk as they're ever going to get.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, well, I don't see any other way. Like, it would have to be I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. or Tony Stark related to get him into space, because he's not going to do it himself. He's not a rocket scientist. Right. He's, you know, genetics. So, yeah, that seems weird.
And, like, I think whatever happens in Civil War is going to kind of set that up.
Yeah.
But notice it's like we took two chunks of teams and put them in Civil War in a Cap movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're taking the other two guys that aren't going to be in that movie and put them in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to, like, see them starting to team up. Mm-hmm. In movies versus just, like, where it was, like, when Black Widow showed up in Iron Man 2 for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, you're introducing a character, like, right. Versus, oh, her here's this totally established character coming in and wrecking the house. Yeah.
Well, like, so. Her in Cap 2.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, I have mixed feelings about that take on things. Because it's like, I want the characters to have their own time.
Right.
Like, Cap 2 was excellent. But, you know, you're introducing Falcon. It's basically a Cap and Widow movie. You know,
yes
with,
no.
You know, with,
like,
Bucky
there are parts
and S.H.I.E.L.D.
where she comes,
like,
in and out. But she comes in and out appropriately.
Yeah.
You know, she, like, but she's weaved in very nicely to not overshadow Cap.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
or be so, even equally.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. But I'm worried about Civil War because it's going to be a lot more of them.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, like, honestly, at that point, I would almost rather they just call them the movies. Don't say it's Captain America Civil War. Just call it Civil War. And then it can be whoever you want in there, and it makes sense. Just call it Ragnarok. Don't call it, you know, Marvel Ragnarok. Don't call it Thor Ragnarok if they're going to have
other, like,
characters.
Yeah, but Ragnarok is a Thor storyline. So, like,
well, of course,
it makes sense.
But
it also makes sense to
Hulk wasn't in it, was it?
No.
Well,
I don't think so. But it makes sense to have the Hulk there because he's basically going to fight a huge amount of, like, crazy
Asgardians
dudes.
Or whoever.
And, like, yeah, like, aliens. And, like, I really hope that Surtur shows up and Hulk and Surtur go at it. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But now, for Civil War, like, in the same rate, I feel that the reason they're making it a Cap movie and he's going to be the main focus of the movie is because of what happens in the Civil War comic book that may happen in the movie.
Right.
Which makes sense because it's almost like a farewell to Cap movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least a farewell to Steve Rogers movie.
Right.
And I really like the fact that that's kind of implied with how much, like, anything I see about it, that's kind of how I'm implying it.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, and I kind of dig it. I'm not 100% opposed to it. I thought that, Iron Man 3, no, Iron Man 2 had a bit too many people in it. Like, I didn't think that Black Widow was necessarily needed,
mm-hmm.
because they were introducing, War Machine.
Right.
But it's also, like, also part of me kind of feels like they're making like Black Widow the person who's actually building these extra characters up, because it's every time she shows up somebody else does.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I
know, and like this Civil War will be the first one that I'm iffy on, not because I don't want to see it. Like, I want to see it and I think it's going to be good, but at the same time, this will be the movie that, to me, Marvel has to prove themselves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, everyone else was like, oh, Age of Ultron, or, I mean, just original Avengers, Guardians, Ant-Man. I had confidence in all three of them. Like, I wasn't questioning. I'm like, they're going to be awesome. Period. I don't care.
Yeah.
And they were. With this one, it should be awesome, and it probably will be. But because of the nature, and it's not a full Avengers movie, yet there's pretty much an Avengers
pretty
team
much everybody
in it,
else there.
You know, plus introducing two or three new characters, whether they're cameos or not, Spidey, Black Panther, they're all being in there.
Right.
So it's like, it's... they may be pushing too hard on this one, and it may be, which is the same thing that I don't think that Superman versus Batman is going to be any good, because it's just too much just for name value.
Oof.
And if it's not, I mean, they're going to have to do like a 2.5-hour movie of Civil War to give it any kind of time to be impactful.
Right, or 3 hours, which actually wouldn't be bad.
Right.
But I don't know. I think
looking forward to it. I'm just saying that this is the one where everyone else was like, oh, Ant-Man's going to suck, or Guardians is going to suck. I'm like, no. They got my support. They've done everything great. This one's where it's like, meh.
I've always gone in going, like, I'm going to take it for what it is, and then I'll judge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like I came out of Guardians going, that was an awesome movie, but I didn't think it was an awesome Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of shit for that, but whatever.
Yeah,
but I went into Ant-Man thinking the same thing, and I was really excited because Ant-Man, and I really, really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it.
Yep.
And a lot of people hated it.
Yeah,
you know, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm not saying you're wrong.
But you are.
But I personally just felt, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. Like, I think it's definitely one of those things where, you know, you can go into these movies with all the preconceived notions that you want. You can right. you can read all the books that are supposed to be tying into it, mm-hmm. but it's never going to be the same.
Yeah.
And what I'm most worried about is actually the movies that are post the removal of Bendis and the think tank,
mm-hmm.
because those were the guys that were throwing in the things that made it comic booky still.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really nervous about those post movies. So like everything post Doctor Strange, I mm-hmm. think, is going to be like that. It's mm-hmm. weird. And like even Jessica Jones is coming up, which I'm really excited about.
Right.
That's actually like almost a month from now. Mm-hmm. So like, what, 40 days? It's like the 21st or something.
Okay.
So like really excited about that. Been rereading the trades on that. It's a really great book. And it's just one of those things that, you know, if the writing's not there, that's what's going to bother me, because I feel that they're going to take Civil War and they're going to go, we're going to not talk about the actual political parts of this,
right.
and we're just going to make an action movie.
Yeah.
Because Cap 2 was like basically an action movie, which was awesome, mm-hmm. but it made sense to be an action movie. This one, I think, is going to have a lot more espionage-style stuff, so I think you're going to see the hints of the espionage of Ant-Man,
mm-hmm.
but I think you're going to see a lot of action, and I don't think you're going to see like the political part, which was the entire point of Civil War.
But in the comic book form, it was mainly action. I mean, they were shouting each other the political aspects as they were fighting, but it was like...
But it was the whole idea that it was a satire of the American Civil War. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, and like, super-powered people were the African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So it was either you fought for it or you fought against it. Mm-hmm. And then... They fought, you know, yeah. and it was, and, you know, it is the single highest death toll
right.
for the Americans, but that's because only Americans fought in it.
Right.
But, you know, like, that's pretty much what it is. Like, you know, when they started killing their own, they realized they had to stop, and that was the point. And it was a satire. They did it so well. And then to kill Cap at the end of the book.
Spoiler.
Well, I think everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been out for like almost 10 years, mm-hmm. If not more. But for that to happen was like a symbol like of like how American like can fall into itself
mm-hmm.
and just fall apart. And like with all of the stuff going on in the nation right now, it's almost like the perfect time for that same satire.
Mm-hmm.
However, do they push the agenda? Do they not push the agenda? Right. That's really what I want to see.
Yeah. 'Cause I mean, I can also see Civil War. I took it, I mean, besides the blatant name comparison, I took it almost more of like a satire on gun control, because it's like these are living weapons.
Well, you could have seen it on like you could see it as a satire of a lot of things.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's another perfect thing, or like the arms race.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
again, now is a really prime time for something like that to come out. So yeah, I mean, but at the same time, I wouldn't want them to be too politically heavy-handed, because that's not why I go to movies. You
know? Right, and like it's almost. Superman versus Batman is almost the same satire, mm-hmm. and it's like, because now you have like the god versus the normal dude who has a lot of toys,
mm-hmm.
so it's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
We'll see though. Like, I'm really interested to see. I'm interested to see it more now for the awkward rumors and speculation of who the Joker is now that's going to be in Suicide Squad,
mm-hmm.
and his ties to this movie than what I was before. Like,
okay.
Until...
Wasn't it just Jared Leto?
Okay, so Jared Leto's Joker, there is a speculated rumor that he is actually Jason Todd.
Oh, that rumor. Oh, yeah.
Or even Tim Drake.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very interested to see if that actually plays out.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only reason I am excited to see that movie.
Right.
Because I want to see if that's how it is. And you kind of have to see that to see the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because I'm really not interested in watching Suicide Squad, I'll be honest.
Nope.
Like, I really, really don't care. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Jared Leto's going to be awesome as Joker. But I don't really care about anybody else in the movie at all.
And that trailer that we talked about before, but that trailer was boring as hell.
Yeah, it was very bad. So I've caught up on Nerd TV, though, real quick. Mm-hmm. So iZombie is in season 2. It's excellent. The second episode was hilarious. She, like, eats the brains of a frat boy, and the whole time she's making bro jokes. And it's super funny, and they're playing beer pong, and all kinds of stuff happens. It's really, really funny. Because Nicole at Home Office and I make bro jokes all the time via email. Mm-hmm. So it was really kind of fun for me. And then Arrow started, and he is now calling himself officially the Green Arrow in the show.
Oh, wow.
The last episode that aired, you get to see Michael Holt, who is who becomes eventually Mr. Terrific.
Okay.
And he's working for Palmer Industries, which is cool. And so in the DC Legends show that's coming up, you see White Canary, who's mm-hmm. the first Black Canary from the show, in a white suit.
Okay.
There's something that happens in this episode that sets up how she becomes that.
Oh, okay.
So go check out last night's episode. It was pretty cool. Flash has been awesome. Mm-hmm. So they did, there's two episodes in. The second episode is like mostly about Jay Garrick and Sand Demon. And when Jay Garrick puts on the helmet, like that whole, like it just, the whole thing just goes great for me. Like it just, like light shines from the heavens.
Gave you chills, right?
It did. Like I'm got goosebumps thinking about it. Like, and they do this great homage to the Flash of Two Worlds cover, because they call it Flash of Two Worlds. Mm-hmm. So the one cop they bring in, who is a cop from the books, I just can't remember her name. It's escaping me right now. So she gets kidnapped by Sand Demon. And then at the end of the fight, like, she's laying there, and she lays there, and she lifts up her one arm, and she's like, Flash, and they both go, coming, and then they come around this pillar,
nice.
And it's, like, it's exactly homage of the awesome, cover, and it's beautiful. Cover, yeah. I own the book.
Right.
Like, it's a great book, too. But they drop Multiverse, they drop 52, they drop Vibe.
Wow.
Like, there are so many Easter eggs in this episode that I almost couldn't believe how many Easter eggs there were. I was like, wow. Like, I think there were more Easter eggs in that episode singly than there were in most of season one.
Wow.
Like, there was a lot. And then the twist at the end, totally crazy. So definitely check it out. It's a fun time. Heroes is still kind of slow for me.
I haven't even been caring to watch.
Yeah, so. I'm going to probably give it one more episode, and then I'm going to be like, yep, I'm done.
I just want to bring up, because we were talking about the whole Thor-Hulk thing.
Yeah.
I saw a GIF online, and it was like either on Facebook or Twitter, and I just like it. So yeah. You remember the scene in Avengers where Hulk punches, like they're standing after they kill the giant whale thing.
Yeah.
They're standing there catching their breath, and Hulk just punches Thor, like sends him flying, you know, as like a, hey, we're not done or whatever.
Right.
It's in one of the animated movies, I guess. And they're standing in the middle of the street, and Hulk does it again, but Thor whips up Mjolnir in the last second, and Hulk punches Mjolnir, and does nothing happens, and Thor just gives him a look, like a little smirk, like, not going to catch me twice.
Oh.
I just like it. It's just like this little punch, bang, no.
So speaking of Mjolnir, so did you see that this dude made a Mjolnir?
Electromagnet.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't seen this, it comes, like, he built it so that it would go with this big piece of metal that he sits it on.
No, it's a manhole cover.
Yeah, but it's like a shiny manhole cover.
No, like, I thought he put it on an actual, I thought the hammer itself was a giant electromagnet with fingerprint reader on
it
the
is.
Handle, and he just puts it on an actual manhole cover that's,
like,
too heavy
the
for most people.
The picture I saw
lose.
Was like, it was like a shiny manhole cover.
Oh,
like, it was
okay.
Very shiny metal.
Oh, I saw one where it looked like it was just on one in the street.
Oh, well, anyway, he's doing this, and he puts it down there, and people try to pick it up, and he has a thumbprint reader, so it only will pick up for him.
Yep.
And it's crazy, and I'm like, I want this. Like, yeah. That's all I keep thinking about is, I want this.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also think about, that's a big-ass electromagnet. Like, I would totally ruin my phone.
Oh, yeah. You'd ruin everything. I wonder if he did. Like, every person that walked up just like, nope, your iPhone, your whatever,
your phone
Android.
Credit cards. Peace. Don't worry about those anymore.
Yep. Have fun.
Yeah. Sure. So it was just interesting to see that. But I thought that was the, like, one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yes. Yeah, very cool.
So, dude who builds a Mjolnir. Bring it to Pittsburgh. Bring it to Pittsburgh and hang out with me.
And in DC, we'll go one of our shows.
Right? We'll just put you up somewhere. It'll be awesome. All right, guys, that's about it for this installment. We got some cool stuff we'll talk about the next installment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to leave you with teaser. That little teaser taste. It's going to be fun. So we'll talk to you next time.
All right, bye, everybody.